Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for giving us grace to understand the things that are coming upon the world. We ask for your grace for your people to be prepared for these days. We thank you for your mercy, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, I want to share a very important revelation with you concerning the destruction that is coming to the United States and the world. Eve Brass received this on 5/23/19. I dreamed I was walking up and down in a large city that was in the shape of a rectangle. I was taken up in the spirit and shown an aerial view of the city and its surroundings. Now, Eve told me that the Lord told her that this city was a type of the whole world and its different peoples and nations. So you're going to see that in this city as a type. Okay. The city was divided into four square sections from north to south, and there were multiple floors in each section like high-rise buildings. The northernmost section was the wealthiest, and all the rich and indulgent people lived in this section. It was the cleanest and most developed portion of the city. The second section down from that was the middle class section, and it too was well developed, but not as clean and didn't have as many indulgent services. The third section down was a poor section, and it was only partially developed, and it was dirty, and there was graffiti and trash in different areas. This section wasn't very livable due to its level of undevelopment. The fourth section was completely undeveloped and filthy. It actually looked war-torn and devastated, with piles of rubble everywhere. It looked like it had been bombed out, although the main structure of the buildings remained intact. There was what looked like the San Francisco Bay Area and the Golden Gate Bridge to the east of the city, and on the left was a mountain range with an elaborate system of caves. This city in the dream and its buildings that looked like California was representative of the whole world, its nations and inhabitants. Father was showing me a microcosm that represented the whole world. Each quarter of the city represented not only the wealthy nations of the world, but the wealthy inhabitants of the earth. The poorer nations of the world and their inhabitants were represented by the other three quarters. Merlene got this text the same morning that I had this dream, Amos 3:6-11. Shall the trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Of course, that's true of the whole world, right? Shall evil befall a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Well, some people think so. The Lord wouldn't do this, the Lord wouldn't do that, but they haven't read the Bible, have they? Surely the Lord will do nothing except he reveal his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, and who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish ye in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold what great tumults are therein, and what oppressions in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus saith the Lord, an adversary there shall be, even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be plundered. Then I was waking up, and down through the city again, from the top floors of each building in each section, all the way down to the basements and out onto the streets. She was walking up and down through this city and in all these places. I heard radio announcements. Now listen carefully. I heard radio announcements over loudspeakers throughout the city, which would be throughout the world, as well as people calling out warnings on the street corners, telling everyone in the city that, quote, scientists have said the destruction will begin in 6 months to a year, unquote. And then Eve said, I knew in the dream that destruction would begin in 6 months. And what we are discovering that it will last, this particular destruction will last another 6 months to a year. That's why it was beginning 6 months to a year. Okay, so I knew in the dream that they were referring to an outside force from space that couldn't be stopped, and that it was going to destroy the planet as we knew it. In the dream, I was wondering if this could be Planet X that we've heard so much about. Okay, I'm going to share some things with you. Can't say we've gotten the full revelation of this. There is some variables in here that we don't know yet. But a point of interest is that the date of the dream, 5/23/19, which is also spoken of in a prophecy I'm going to share towards the end of this program, almost a year before Terrell Croft, in his team's prediction of the crossing of the Earth's orbit by Planet X on 5/20/2020. And the destruction would begin 6 months before that, when Planet X is coming around behind the sun. And I want to say that this is just a point of interest, okay, because it's strange. I mean, it's like when this thing does come to pass, we will know that we've received a sign, and that's what that is, just a sign. But listen to this. However, the timeline begins with a broad announcement that destruction is coming in 6 months, and apparently would last for six more months, making a year from that announcement. We haven't had the announcement in any broad way yet. We are making it today, of course, but starting from now to a year would bring us after Terrell's first prediction of the crossing in 2020. So again, I'm giving you different points of view here, okay? So don't jump to any one. I don't really think we have enough information yet to do that. The announcement has not gone out broadly yet, okay? Before this crossing event, destruction would begin as Planet X enters the solar system and begins to go around the sun, causing it to act up, and together they would affect the Earth very badly. So, we have a possibility that it would be another year, or that Terrell's day for the year is wrong. I'll share with you a confirmation of his work in a minute, but just hold on to that, okay? Now, here's something Terrell said on his website, www.terrell, that's T-E-R-R-A-L, 03.com. The Project Black Star investigation has been tracking the invisible collapsed binary twin to our sun through the Leo, Virgo, and Libra constellations. Yes, I've been watching as the revelations of that exact thing are coming forward, you know, not just with Terrell, but with others. Using the earth changes since January of 2011. And what he is saying is the earth changes are because of the effects of Planet X as it comes closer. The research and predictive modeling have identified May of 2020 and possibly 2021 as times for potential global catastrophic events that include black star magnetically induced geological pole shifts requiring contingency planning for neutralizing all black star related threats. Okay. Then he has a chart of different major earthquakes that have happened leading up to the point we're at now. And the crossing event he has projected for 5/20/2020. So, to Terrell's credit, I was watching before the Papua 5/14/19 quake on the chart came. And he put it up about two or three days after it happened. What I wanted to see was he had a prediction for that time for a major earthquake, according to his projections. And I was watching to see if it was going to come to pass. And it was at the most a day off, which is very close, very close. And then, of course, he put his Papua earthquake up 5/14/19 on the chart. The line was already there. The prediction was already there before that earthquake happened. And anyway, so we're making no predictions. But if the announcement goes broadly from someone or some people like us, we will be watching for the trouble to come. We will update this as we receive more information, but everyone should be preparing spiritually and not wait till the last minute, because this judgment is going to be majorly upon the wicked and the wicked in the church. So let's go back to Eve's dream. People understood that there would be devastation, fires, and massive floods. All the people seemed to be in different stages of grief, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance concerning the devastating news. Hopelessness, despondency, and despair blanketed the lower three quarters of the city. And while denial seemed to dominate the wealthy north quarter. Again, that's a worldwide revelation of people. And the three quarters is a worldwide revelation of people, too, that are not so well off. Social services had provided free suicide pills to any and all that wanted them. They were being passed around like candy. Huh. Some people took them right away and fell to the ground almost immediately, and others pocketed them for a later time when things would get worse. I was then walking on the Golden Gate Bridge, and many people were lined along the edges and jumping off the bridge while others were taking the suicide pills and falling down dead. Then I was walking among the caves of the west side of the city, and many celebrities and entertainers were hiding in the caves and thought to escape the destruction and floods that were coming upon the earth. She gives Revelation 6 and 15, and the kings of the earth and the princes and the chief captains and the rich and the strong and every bondman and freeman hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And of course we know that this happens at the end of the tribulation also. I'm not saying that this timing is physically for now, but there is a judgment that I believe is going to prepare the world for the wilderness. You understand, God's people are worldwide, and they're going into a worldwide wilderness, and something happens to create that. And I believe it's this judgment from Planet X. By the way, we've seen many verses that appear that the Lord himself is coming with Planet X, like he led the destroyer through Egypt. And there was a Passover for his people. And, of course, the next thing you know, they're going into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 says is the tribulation. We're not far from the tribulation. I believe we have a little time left. And, of course, this is saying the same thing because the judgment didn't come until after a warning, a clear warning that went worldwide, not necessarily from governments now. It could be coming from wild people like ourselves, you know. So, and then, of course, 6 months later, more major destructions would be happening. And then there all the way through the next 6 months, and at that time, Planet X would be passing by Earth's orbit on its way back out. Okay. And as I was looking around in one of the caves, I saw a black Cadillac Escalade pull into the cave and back as far as it could into the cave. I opened the door and got into the vehicle and saw that it was Beyoncé. I then became merged with her and was experiencing what she endured. She was frightened, but trusted that her vehicle and the caves in the mountains would save her. Suddenly, dark blue ocean water filled up the cave and submerged the vehicle. I could see the water through all of the windows, but I knew that the water continued to rise and that the weight of it began to dent the four corners of the roof. Beyoncé resigned herself to this fate in despair, and finally the windows burst and she drowned. Then once again, I was walking through the city and observing all the different people. I was up on the highest level of the northern section where all the wealthiest people were. I saw wealthy women, many who were obese, having their spa treatments, and judges and their wives arguing over trivial things. I saw many people just partying and acting like they were in denial of what was coming, or having the attitude that if destruction was imminent, then they would live it up until they died. And the verse she gives, Isaiah 22, 12 through 14. And in that day did the Lord of hosts, call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding and with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And the Lord of hosts revealed himself in mine ears. Surely this iniquity shall not be forgiven you till you die, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, it's a time to repent when we see catastrophes coming. It's a time to draw near to the Lord to make sure you're in the kingdom. That even if you aren't spared the judgments and you're taken out, that you will be in the kingdom. And if you are entitled to a Passover by your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can escape these things. She went on to say, I saw my son Elijah sitting over to the side. He looked discouraged. I went over to him and caressed his curly head and asked, What's wrong, sweet boy? He said, Everyone's ignoring me, and I'm just waiting for someone to come and pick me up. I said, Well, you're welcome to come with me. And I say that maybe Eve here represented the bride. Because as you know, and as you remember from the scriptures, the witnesses that went forth were a part of the bride, right? Welcome to come with me. So he got up and began following me through the city. My son Elijah represents those who in the spirit of Elijah are called to bring the message of repentance to the people. But the majority haven't listened. And you know, that was his discouragement there, right? She gives John 1, 19-23. And this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent unto him from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed, and he denied not. And he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, No. They said therefore unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet. Of course, Jesus said that even John, even though John wasn't claiming this title, that's who he was. He was Elijah who was to come, right? We travel to the third quarter of the city where the poor section was. And we found my other son, Noah, who was hurriedly gathering materials to build something that would survive the devastation. Well, of course, he's Noah. I asked him, What are you doing, son? And he explained that he thought he had found a way to build something that we could survive in. Well, of course, he's Noah. And she said, I believe that Noah represents the man-child ministers that the Lord has spoken to over the years to prepare an ark of holiness and provision for the remnant of God's people during the tribulation period to come. Well, I would say, before the tribulation, actually, there's a lot of repentance being preached, okay? But we know he's going to preach all the way through the tribulation until, of course, the man-child comes, excuse me. Like it was with John the Baptist, right? So, Genesis 6, 13-22. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Is it not filled with violence? The wicked are trying very hard to start a world war with their false flags right now. They don't care how many people they kill because they are the beast. To them, killing people is a sacrifice to their god, Satan. And to them, it just makes more room on the earth for them. Right? Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms that thou shalt make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is how thou shalt make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, the breadth of it, 50 cubits, and the height of it, 30 cubits. A light shalt thou make to the ark, and to the cubit shalt thou finish it upward. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And I, behold, do bring the flood waters up upon this earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Now, God promised not to destroy the whole earth with flood waters, and he won't. But the destruction, this flood is a flood of destruction this time, and of fire. And it will bring great destruction both before and at the end of the tribulation period. So, to destroy all flesh, wherein is breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. Yes, everything that's of the earth will eventually die, won't it? Even us who are here in flesh and blood. The flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That shall die too, right? But I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing off the ground after its kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And after this, I woke up. And I asked for a text for this dream by faith at random, and my finger was on Ezekiel 34, 1 through 24. And this is, by the way, confirmed to be the reason for this great destruction, is that there are many wicked men leading God's people astray and keeping them from the knowledge of the real gospel. And if they're not wiped out, nobody will follow the reformers. So God has a plan, and it has to happen quickly, because remember, the reformers, the man-child, is going to lead the people into the wilderness. Okay, so these people wouldn't follow unless the Lord did this. These people are actually a part of the dragon who seeks to devour the man-child. They're wicked, and their power over the people must be broken. So, Ezekiel 34, 1 through 24, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Remember, she received this by faith at random, and it fits very well. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, even to the shepherds, thus saith the Lord, Woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you feed not the sheep. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought back that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with rigor have you ruled over them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food to all the beasts of the field and were scattered. And many are being destroyed because they've gone to these churches and they've heard the garbage and they've had enough discernment to know that it's wrong. But now they're out there without, you know, a steady diet of good food, which they should have gotten. And they're not getting, and so their blood is upon Babylon, right? The harlot. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my sheep were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And there was none that did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord, surely, for as much as my sheep became a prey, and my sheep became food to all the beasts of the field, because there was no shepherd, Neither did my shepherds search for my sheep, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my sheep. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand. He will hold them guilty, right, and judge them, and cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. And I will deliver my sheep from their mouth. There you go. How's he going to do that? Well, we're going to find out. God is bringing a great judgment upon the apostate shepherds, that they may not be food for them. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep, and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And there is a cloudy and dark day coming. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them. Now, coming out of the countries into our own land, if everybody left their country to go to their own land, they wouldn't be out there to bring the gospel or anything else. He's talking about come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. That's not talking about geographically walking out. It's talking about coming out from among them, being separate from them, not doing their things, and not feeding on their food, and so on and so forth. So, and he said he would bring them into their own land, and I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. Upon the mountains of the height of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in a good fold, and on fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Yes, God is going to provide for his people, even after this initial devastation, and even through the rest of the devastation, God is going to provide for his people who trust in him. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and will bring back that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture? But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet, meaning, of course, the walk of the preachers is poisoning the people of God. Their way of self-indulgence, designing scriptures to permit them to live the way they want to live, their way is poisoning the sheep by their walk. They have used these men as examples, and we only have really one example, don't we? Jesus, right? That's why we are disciples of Jesus and not of men. And as for my sheep, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder, and push all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. And he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Well, then, of course, the next chapter speaks of the destruction of Edom. The whole chapter is about the destruction of Edom. And, of course, as you know, when David was anointed king, he conquered Edom and put his military in all their cities and kept them under control. And, of course, Edom represents those who sold their birthright, like their forefather Esau, because they hated Jacob, who is Israel, who is the church. They hated the people of God. They did evil to the people of God. And so God reprobated them. And so that's why that chapter follows this one, because when David, the prince among them, rises to the ministry of that's given to him by God, that's one thing that he does. He conquers the Edomites. And that fits very, very well with the next revelation that Eve sent me. And she called it Factious Couple Overcome by the Floodwaters. Now, we've known this for a long time, that not only the factious, but other apostates also are going to be taken down by the floodwaters. And we can call it the Red Sea, if you like, right? A type and a shadow, of course. But Eve got this on 6/14/19, 2 days ago. She said, I dreamed it was pitch black outside. I was in the spirit observing most of this dream. I saw the UBM house up on a high hill with every window lit up with the warm glow of light in every window shining out into the darkness. It was the only light in this dream. And she gives Isaiah 60:1-2. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Remember, she was outside and it was pitch black. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And I want to tell you who these people are. They are the people who have overcome the attacks and crucifixions of this factious people that has come against them, including the factious denominations who are against them. They've gone through crucifixions and hatred from the Edomites, and they have held to their faith and held to their love, and they have overcome. That's who they are. And that's why God is going to save them and bring his light upon them. And those who have failed the love test, well, that's the tares being separated from the wheat, which God said would happen when at the time of the harvest, and that's where we are. So down in the valley across from the hill that the UBM house was on was a house that had been built into a low hill that sat opposed to the UBM house. And it, of course, is. It's a low hill. There's no holiness, righteousness, or closeness to heaven there. And they are opposed to the UBM, and they fought it all the way. Okay, Obadiah 1:8-11. Shall I not in that day, says the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the Mount of Esau? Yes, that's why we call it the stupid demons. It is so true. It has happened. Anybody that knows as much as these people have known concerning the Word of God and can totally ignore it are very foolish. And the government the faction in the government is the same. Everybody in the world is looking to see how mad these people are. I remember when people didn't believe me when I talked about the faction and what kind of foolishness and craziness that they did and the slander that they put out there. And now everybody's watching it on their TV sets. Except me, I don't have one. But anyway, they're watching it on the videos, on the internet. They're seeing this, and everybody's awed, you know. But we saw this strongly from 2011 on. We did not predict that it was going to come in the church, although we knew that the beast was going to devour the earth. And that's what it is. It's the beast. So verse 9 says, "And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one may be cut off from the mount of Esau by slaughter." There is a major slaughter coming. We've warned about it. Pestilence, sword, judgments from heaven, fire. Okay, we're now looking at this thing coming from above, you know. "For the violence done to thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side," like this little bump on the ground, stood against the mountain, right? "In the day that strangers carried away his substance," and they did steal, "and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them." By the way, Edom joined with the Romans, for instance. They always joined with the enemies of Jacob or Israel or the church. They always joined with the enemies. They were always a part of the beast that came against God's people. So then Eve said, "A married couple that used to be a part of UBM had built this house, and the husband had dug into the base of a low hill," that's pretty low, "to make a dwelling for him and his wife. The roof and walls were partially a sod roof with green grass growing on it, and the front was made of sod. And the rest of the house receded back into the hill with mud walls." Pretty dirt, pretty lowly, right? No sanctification identified there. "There was no glass in the two front windows," because no light was permitted to come in, "only an open wood frame, and there was no door in the door frame, so any enemy could come in," right? And the word she got, Job 24:14-18. "The murderer ariseth with the light. He killeth the poor and needy." Of course, we've had many dreams about the faction slaughtering the people of God, using the sword of their mouth, destroying people from their high position, dragging them down into the hole that this place is talking about, basically. "And in the night he is as a thief." Yes. "The eye also of the adulterer awaiteth for the twilight." And they have spirits of adultery and every other kind of fornication. "Saying, no eye shall see me. And he disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses. They shut themselves up in the daytime." Don't want any daylight. "They know not the light. For the morning is to all of them as thick darkness. For they know the terrors of the thick darkness. Swiftly they pass away upon the face of the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. They turn not into the way of the vineyards." The wife had cats. A cat, of course, represents rebellion and self-will. "And also wanted to protect themselves, the cats, and the house by building a cinder block wall as high as the roof of the house to protect it from the floodwaters that they knew were coming upon the valley. Well, I do hope they know that they're coming, and their only hope is to build that ark out of obedience to the word of God. That's the only hope. And so she built it all around the front of the house and the low hill, but she didn't put any gate on the entrance. It was just an opening, the width of a garage door. It was like a huge dirt courtyard. She thought that by doing this, they would be protected, and the waters wouldn't be able to flood their house and her cats. And Matthew 7:24-27, every one therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Well, hear these words of mine and doeth them. You know, it's amazing that people who have heard so much of the word can stare you right in the face and you tell them what the word of God says about their actions and what it's going to lead to, and it goes right over their head. Because as the Lord said, he's given them eyes that can't see and ears that don't hear. Remember Jesus preached that sermon, right? Matthew 13. The house was dark because they had no light sources. I saw Brandy, Denny, and Don going to the house with flashlights, trying to warn the couple of the flood that was coming and to tell them that they weren't safe and to please come back up on the high hill into the UBM house for safety. Amen. Amen. Of course, we say so today to all those out there who will hear and listen. If you've been taken into captivity because of slanderers who imparted demons to you through their words, and you can't hear the word of the Lord, but you do understand that judgment is coming, please cry out to the Lord to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. Cry out to him now, because a remnant is going to escape, and the rest are not. They're going to be killed. That's what the Lord showed us. I was then back in my body, and I joined them in trying to convince the woman that the wall she had built was not sufficient to protect them from the judgment and the floodwaters that were coming soon into the valley. Neither one of them would listen to us. The man had an old wooden desk near one of the front windows, and he had papers and scrolls on the desk, and he kept pointing to them and saying that he had been studying them and was assured of their safety. Yes, we know people like that. They've done exactly that. The men were asking him how he could study the papers and the scrolls without a light source, as they were shining the flashlights around the desk area because it was dark 24/7 now. Well, Deuteronomy 28:28-29. The Lord will smite thee with madness, and with blindness, and with astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and robbed alway, and there shall be none to save thee. The wife kept pointing to the cinder block fence that she had built, that her cats loved to walk upon so much, and telling me how well and carefully she had built it and fitted the blocks together, and how she felt sure that they had protection from the judgment and the flood. I was pointing out that there wasn't even a gate on the opening into their courtyard. But she couldn't understand what I was saying because of her pride in the wall and self-confidence in her ability to protect what was important to her. Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The men gave up pleading with the husband and had to just cut their losses. So they left with sorrow to go back to the UBM house before the flood came. They had to hurry because there wasn't much time left. And I do believe there isn't much time left before these judgments begin to fall. And a wilderness is created, a worldwide wilderness is created. And the woman, the righteous woman, goes into the wilderness to be fed by the man-child for the first 3.5 years. But they had to hurry because there wasn't much time left. When they left, I was back in the spirit looking down on the sod house and the cinder block courtyard that was so pitifully open to the danger, and this poor couple that was completely deceived that they were safe. And suddenly I saw a huge volume of muddy water that seemed to just silently fill up the valley from beneath the ground. It completely flooded everything in the valley up to where it just covered the sod roof and the cinder block wall. It drowned the man and his wife and their cats. But the UBM house was up on a high hill, and the waters never rose any higher than what it took to flood the factious and rebellious people in the sod house. In other words, all God sent the judgment to take was them, you know, these types of people. And it's not necessary for it to go any higher to take out anybody. It's kind of like the Sennacherib scenario, which we got, you know. Sennacherib, of course, you know, with his Assyrian Empire, conquered the church, which they have spiritually. If you look out there, they're a part of this Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag bunch. They've conquered the church, which is just as worldly as the wicked, doing the same things, but they couldn't conquer the bride. And there they were smitten, and there they lost their mighty men, and there they fled, right? Obadiah 1:15-18. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy dealings shall return upon thine own head. For as you have drunk upon my holy hill, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and swallow down, and shall be as though they had not been. But in Mount Zion there shall be those that escape. And it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Oh, praise the Lord. They haven't really, up until this time, possessed their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. Now, you want to know where the judgment is coming from? He tells you right there. The house of Jacob a fire, house of Joseph for flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall burn among them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining to the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. Now there are some people that see only letter and believe that Israel built the wall so that they could destroy everything on the other side of it and take out all the Edomites and all Esau's children. And, of course, that's crazy. This is talking about the spiritual Edomites, the spiritual seed of Esau who sold his birthright through a root of bitterness, right? And then I woke up. I asked for a word by faith at random for this married couple in the wood house, and my finger was on 1 John 3:6-16. In particular, her finger was on 10. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is begotten or born of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God, or begotten of God. Same word, by the way. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And for this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So people who don't love their brother, they're not of God. Right? Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hateth you. We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now I got to tell you, all of these people believe that they have eternal life. All of them. But they hate their brother. Even while they speak out of the side of their face saying, I love you, it's a lie, and they know it. So, hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I asked for a word by faith at random for the UBM house, and my finger was on Romans 15:4. In context, 1 through 7. Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good, unto edifying. For Christ also pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of the same mind one with another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord we may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, even as Christ also received you, to the glory of God. Now, this is pretty neat. We have a prophecy here. which was posted at the exact same date that Eve received that first dream of the destruction of the world as we know it. And it's pretty much following the same line. And we called it the devastation to America and the world, a prophecy of Sabino Berrientes. And again, published 5/23/19. And it's kind of amazing that it was published on that same day as Eve's, right? As one puts together silver, copper, iron, lead, tin in the middle of a furnace by blowing on them the fire to melt them. So I will assemble you in mine anger and my wrath. I will put you there, and I will melt you. And I will gather you up and blow on you the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst of it. Like silver that is melted in the midst of a furnace, so you will be melted in the midst of it. And you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out on you my wrath. Welcome, beloved. Terrible moments are coming. Distress is coming on all the people of the earth. But a judgment is coming in the church. Many people had time to be honest with Christ, but they are playing church and deceiving themselves. But evil days are coming. And she's from Paraguay, so she said, listen, brother and sister of Paraguay, and you who are very distant, which could, of course, mean us, there is coming misfortune and calamity that is enough to change the framework of American history. So now she speaks of the Americans. Difficult moments are underway. And innocent blood is going to run in the streets, in the cities, and the village. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. May God have mercy on us, that those who love Him, and may God provide supply and supply for His servants. Let us prepare ourselves, for God is about to operate a cleaning in His church around the world. Yes, there is a lot of leadership and a lot of evil people in what they call the church, believing that they're born again while they hate their brothers and while they try their best to keep them down, keep them from reaching to the heavens, keep them from their eyes on Christ, keep them from receiving the true doctrines of Scripture, which they won't study themselves. And so they're hindering. And what God has been telling us a long time, that those who hinder His people from reaching for their utmost, He's going to take away. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. I received from God this message that does not suit millions of Christians of the world. Very few talk about these things. Yet God told me there is going to be a cleaning in the body of Christ worldwide. No matter the country, the race, the color, the language, the cleaning process will happen worldwide. And He told me, when you see this judgment and cleaning of His house, look out for the redemption is at the door. And the Lord said, the wheat will be separated from the tares on earth, not in heaven. Well, of course, a lot of the church believes that false doctrine, that the wheat and the tares are separated in heaven, and that God will give you the rest of the fruit that you don't have here when you get to heaven. But no, the thing that changes between here and there is not that. Here we bear the fruit. Here God picks the fruit. And he leaves the plant, which is the old man that will not inherit the kingdom of God, in the earth to be plowed under. It's only good for furnishing something for the next plant. It's kind of like clay when you make a vessel and it's marred in your hand. Before you put it in the kiln, you just beat it all back into one lump and start again. You can use the life of the person who falls and is shown to the world as a sinner, but you can't use it and bring it to heaven. And the Lord said, all the wheat will be separated from the tares on earth and not in heaven. The wheat will be separated not by human intervention, but by the heavenly hand of God. Yes, and he is doing it. All he has to do is do what he said he did to the leaders of Edom. Take away their sense. Take away their brains. And he's done that. The hand of God is going to move within the body of Christ globally. The Lord said many ministers are going to die. Tragically. Listen, brother, I already saw it. In my country, a lot of people would prefer to avoid this message, and they are turned off. But this is what the Lord told me. God warned me that many shepherds are going to die. For the time of trial and judgment has come in the body of Christ. And notorious ministers are going to die with disease. Many will die right there on the altars. And isn't this what we've been telling you for a while, is that there is a great judgment coming for apostate Christianity and to deliver God's people from leaders like this who will not grow up and they won't let anybody else grow up. We're here to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. They haven't the foggiest idea how to do that. They never learned that and they never aspired to that. So they became a hindrance. Others will die in a catastrophic way. And there will be confusion, wonder, and regret. God's people will wonder. And they will be stunned. Men cannot play with the Word of God, for God's Word does not falter. The Word of God is infallible. People have ignored God's instruction. God cannot be mocked. All that man has sown, he will reap, for the time of harvest has come. Isn't that what the Lord says? That whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. And it repeats that over and over concerning the time when the Lord will judge his people. The church must understand that what is about to happen to the body of Christ is precisely what we do not want and expect. The hour of consequences has come, for God is about to clean the altar from liberal and apostate ministers preaching earthly gospel, hiding sin, and handling holy things. And the Lord says what happened in the beginning of the church would happen in these times, especially in America. What God told me is that there is coming an acceleration of the operation of the Holy Spirit, who is going to move to such a degree that there will happen events like in the times of Ananias and his wife Sapphira, who conspired to test the Spirit of the Lord. They fell dead, and great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. May I say that we received this text this morning in our morning meeting. Very interesting. And what I pointed out was, remember that Ananias and Sapphira, what they had in their hand belonged to them. And the apostle told them so. But they were acting as though they were contributing all, and they were not. And God took them out. how much more will he take out a person who is not only not contributing all, but stealing what is there? These people weren't stealing what was there, but the faction does. It goes on, the body of Christ in America and around the world will suffer the separation of tares and wheat. We've been watching that. We've been seeing it happen. It's going to happen even more rapidly leading up to the tribulation. For as the Lord told me when I asked him why he was doing this, he said, you don't want them going into the wilderness with you, do you? And I said, well, no, Lord. So, meaning, of course, God's going to clean up before going into the wilderness, at least for the bride, for sure. So, the world will suffer the separation of tares and wheat, especially countries of Latin America. They are going to feel the agony of God's hand, and there will be despair. And many here will remember God, but it will be too late. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So if judgment has to begin at the house of God, here we are at the beginning of a judgment called the tribulation period, and something's got to happen even before then. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? Beloved brothers and sisters, now is the time to look for God while he can be found. There is coming a day you will call on him and he will not answer. You will cry to him and he will not respond. This is true. It is the word. God has touched Latin America and North America. Therefore, there will be judgment on the two Americas, for we have not responded to his touch, though God has visited us and we have ignored him. God has walked among us and we have done nothing for him. We have been indifferent to his spirit. We have overlooked the essential standards of the Holy Spirit. We have been complacent about the one who has offered him on the cross for us. America, you will know what it is to reject God. You will know the price of mocking God. And you know, the Lord is doing a wonderful thing to put some provision in the hands of a people for the days to come. This happened, of course, when God's people were leaving Egypt. And, of course, if you remember, there was a Passover, a great judgment of the destroyer, which the Egyptians and the Israelites looked up and saw was this planet coming through. And that planet, by the way, was called the Destroyer. And they saw this, and the people of God escaped as long as they had the blood on their doorposts. In other words, they're walking, and the lintel, walking in and out under the blood, constantly under the blood. That's the place of safety. And having eaten the lamb, which most of Christianity has not done, eaten the lamb, which is the word of God. They pick and choose pieces, and the very pieces that they reject are the ones that would save them in the days to come. Jesus made a complete redemption. He made a complete salvation of spirit, soul, and even body in this life. So, and much of the church does not believe that. They've been taught not to believe that. They're dying early because they don't believe that, and their preachers are guilty. And so now she turns to address Paraguay. And it's similar in a way, but some ways different. And she addresses the coming economic downfall. Listen, Paraguay, I have not come forth as a peaceful speaker. I have not come to talk to you about revival because it will not come. Of course, it will not come to those who are judged, right? But to those who watch all this, there will some revival come to them. Those who are chosen of the Lord will always be a revival. But what will reach you is the misery and misfortune, even of despair, death, and hunger. Take advantage, Paraguay, says the Lord tonight. Take advantage of the economy that you still have, because very soon another economy will fall to the dust of the earth, and you will remember normal times. I do believe, friends, and I've said from the beginning, that this revival of the economic and the political system that is happening in America and touching many parts of the world is a temporary thing, and that everything is going to turn around and go back in the other direction. And I believe also that many of God's people who have been chosen for this purpose are going to collect on this economy and take it with them to the wilderness, because they're going to be a help to an awful lot of people. So she says, take advantage, says the Lord, because they are finished. The days of glory and the days of success, which is just a memory. Am I glad this political revival is happening? I sure am. I'm glad for the Red Sea too. I'm glad for the celebration on the other side of the Red Sea, when they had their silver and gold from Egypt going into the wilderness. I'm glad for all these things. The remaining time ahead will be tough. The economy will crash at the international level. Latin American countries will be the most affected. Could it be the time of Planet X when the whole world is being smitten? And from what I'm understanding, especially the United States. Yes, it could be. It could be. They will look at each other because of what is coming. The devil has a plan to crush the world economy. Let me say, I think Planet X will do pretty good about this. Can you imagine the magnetism of Planet X as it passes Earth, going back into outer space, and it causes an Earth tide that circles the Earth, and we've got dreams and visions on our site about earthquakes circling the Earth, and it seems to be called an earthquake in the scriptures, but it's a combination of earthquakes together around the Earth as it turns against, while it's facing Planet X. So that Earth tide is going to, listen, it's going to take down the economy. It can't help but do that. It's going to take down the nuclear plants. It can't help but do that. They're all sitting on faults. The water's going to go everywhere. They won't be able to cool them down. The only thing that'll protect you from the radiation that's going up is to be under God's covering. Think Fukushima many times over. That's just one judgment. The devil has a plan to crush the world economy. This is necessary for the rise of the Antichrist, who is to rise soon. I agree. I just disagree with what people think the Antichrist is. I believe that everything outside of Christ is the Antichrist. And yes, they will rise. the occultic plan to crush the world economy and precipitate the rise of the Antichrist is happening soon, and the church is going away. The church will fly before the rise of the Son of Perdition. What the Holy Spirit speaks on this night to Paraguay is a warning message. Now, let me say that this part here might be a prophecy in part, you know. It may not even be a part of the prophecy, actually. It may be a part of her own words. So I will let that fly. Let that go. The word of the Lord against Puerto Rico. Okay. And again, this is to Puerto Rico, but it may have some portions that are good for the rest of the world. The word of the Lord against Puerto Rico, island of Puerto Rico. The Lord showed me a vision where I was in court in the island of Puerto Rico. The Lord said, there is coming trial at Puerto Rico in a short time. I don't know if you know about all the prophecies of big rocks coming in very, very close to Puerto Rico, hitting a fault line, causing earthquakes that could actually go all the way up through America. And anyway, God said that this island has gone astray. God told me, in the past, I raised fearful men of mine, men who loved to read my word, men who did respect my presence and sanctified themselves. But the island has now corrupted itself. The Lord said, this island is not the same island like that of past times. The island of Puerto Rico is corrupted in apostasy, and many have abandoned holiness. They have left my fear and reverence to a reverence of my word. Well, you know what? America has exported its impurities, its fornication, its witchcrafts to the world, and to Puerto Rico too. The harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints. And today, the church in Puerto Rico is all about liberalism, modernity, and fashion. It is the near Christianity that is fashionable. The false teachings are common and have become the standard. Doctrinal falsehoods are fashionable in the island. False doctrines of demons are being introduced in the church of this island. After hearing, of course we know, a lot of that stuff is coming from missionaries from the United States. And we have it here. They're exporting their garbage to the world. The harlot is guilty of destroying the world's doctrines. After hearing the warning of God, I decided myself to go to the island of Puerto Rico. My brothers in Puerto Rico receive the greetings of the love of Jesus Christ. The Lord is calling the island to holiness. I make a call for holiness, and do not forget the true gospel. Puerto Rico is an island blessed by the Lamb of God. It is an island that has the grace of God, where God has raised great men in the history, men of renown, that God has used as useful vessels for the glory and the honor of His name. I want to say that many missionaries from the United States have gone to places and shared foolish doctrines that men rose up against and cast out. And in a more holy time. But as you know, as time goes by, they forget these reformers. And they go back to their old ways. Pick a church that has called to themselves certain reformers, great men actually, claimed them as their own, who totally departed from their way of life, from their spirit-filled life, from their power, and went right back to the fizzle of a dead church. You can see them all over the place. However, in the current day, many Puerto Ricans have corrupted themselves. They have been sold with the falsehoods. They have gone astray with weird doctrines and are anti-biblical, and they are betting with faith. This is what God told me, and I addressed to our Puerto Rican brothers, be careful with what you are doing. Remember the truth of the biblical gospel. Remember that God has not changed and that the Lord is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is going to shake Puerto Rico once more. Yes, we have the prophecies of this. It's definitely coming. And it is true that Puerto Rico has been shaken by God in the past, but judgments will come to Puerto Rico so that the people may know that God is three times holy, and he is making inaudible, that was a piece of inaudible, yeah, on the island of Puerto Rico. And God is also claiming my country of Mexico. God's people must learn to the ancient paths of holiness, must lean, I guess it should be, to the ancient paths of holiness. We must return to the genuine and true gospel. Yes. Well, some of that is her repeating prophecies that she had, and some of it was probably her own thinking and talking and not necessary. But the prophecies, I believe, are pretty much true, except for maybe a little bit of injection there of her doctrine. Puerto Rico is pretty much pre-tribbers too, that is taken over there, and I'm sure that when people fall away from the Lord, they love that doctrine, you know, because it lets them live in sin and still fly away. So it's not unusual. The same problem is through a lot of countries. And here's a light of the biblical truth. The Lord revealed and he showed me something dramatic. I was looking for his face. Suddenly the Lord began to talk to me in a direct and an audible way. The Lord showed me a large river of murky water. I heard the Lord's voice telling me, many of my people have a little of my holiness. Many ministers of this era have little sanctity or little sanctification. They have trampled on my holiness. Yes. True. They have attempted to overrule my sanctity. Yes. True. The Lord said, the prophets who pierced the holiness of God will be thrown into the river of murky waters until they drown. Many ministers started well and changed the glory of God for the glory of men. Yes, true. I mean, you can be ignorant of doctrines when you're innocent and young, but the longer you go, the more you're held responsible to look in the book and find out if they're true or not, and to shed them if they're not. And if you don't, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. Especially the Spirit-filled people who have been filled with the Spirit of God, in order to know the truth and to hear His Spirit and to have power with God, none of which they seem to have anymore. Every foolish doctrine that has come through the false revival, you know, the faction movement, on and on, every foolish doctrine that's come through has grabbed the Spirit-filled people, even more so than the dead churches. At least they were held in their playpen. These people chose to buy a lie because it seemed good to their flesh, right? She said, when the Lord spoke to me this way, I sensed that the Lord was angry and he was very upset and frustrated by something. The Lord told me my church in the end time has little sanctity, but I'm going to do justice in my house. I'm going to implement judgment in my house. Immediately, I saw a big screen which was broadcasting international evangelist pastors of renown. The screen was showing people that I know and preachers that I do not know. And there were evangelists, prophets, pastors across the ministerial range. And then the Lord said, I'm going to cut from the earth many of them because they have attempted to come against my sanctity or sanctification. He told me that they have despised my sanctity. They have admitted and they have taken sin in. He told me, I will cut them from the earth. As the Lord spoke to me at that moment, he tells me, observe, I will show you what I will do. I looked and I saw a man. The Lord threw him into that river of turbulent and turbid waters. Beloved brothers and sisters, or brothers and friends, I looked and I saw a man falling into the water, and there were crowds of people looking at that brother. And I looked at that man as God threw him into the river, and he did not know how to swim and started to drown. He started to drown in those murky waters. And that crowd just watched how that man was slowly dying with desperation. And while I watched, I felt the desire as a human to run and extend the hand of help to him and get him out of there. And while I wanted to run to help the man, the voice of God spoke to me and told me, do not do it. Do not do it. But I ran to the edge of that river and I extended my hand to help him. And I remember when I wanted to jump in that river of murky waters, that the voice of God spoke and he told me not to do it. If you disobey, I will kill you. I was in amazement and fright. I said, but why tell me, do not do it? And when he says, do not do it, I stopped, for I was paralyzed. And I looked and saw the man drowning in those waters. That man stopped breathing and he died. Brothers, the Lord told me, I have allowed it because he tried to play down the central role of holiness. He should not have come against holiness. Well, her word for holiness is the same one for sanctity that she spoke, you know. And it's true. The Lord tells me no one is to mess with holiness because I am three times holy. This man had little sanctity, and this is the payment he has received, for he despised holiness. He has received his reward. You know, the Bible says, without holiness or sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. We are here to become holy, as he is holy. Even as he is holy, the scripture says. That's what we're here to do. And the Lord tells me, servant, what you have seen is exactly what I will do with many on the earth. And they will perish because they have made fun of my holiness. They have little holiness, he tells me. They have ridiculed this message and they attempted to play down the central importance of sanctity. And the Lord told me, Sabi, be holy because I am holy. Brothers and friends, when I heard the Lord speak this way, I felt very afraid in that revelation. I felt very scared because I am a mortal man of flesh and bone. However, thousands of ministers are living passively. They are relaxed with no sense of urgency. They talk about material things instead of getting God's children to purify themselves. They underestimate the process of purification and sanctification that take time. Yet they should be insisting to the church to clean up and to walk in holiness. For without holiness, we won't enter the kingdom of God. Without holiness, we will not conquer salvation. We cannot play with the word of the Lord. He created the heavens and the earth. We have to be careful about what we are doing in the church. Well, this is clearly true. And sanctification, of course, is identified and delineated as being in right standing with the word of God. So therefore, we must believe the word of God. We don't have to believe men's exaggerations, as I talked about a couple of weeks ago, how the Pharisees would strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, calling holiness what having long sleeves or, you know, dressing in a certain way or having what they called holy garb while they lived unholy in their mind, in their thoughts, and in their actions. A man's not defiled by what enters into him. He's defiled by what comes out of him. Evil thoughts. That's what the Lord said. Evil thoughts. And there are many that are defiled. Multitudes that are defiled. And these people, in turn, are passing on their seed. They're sowing a seed just like the sower is sowing the seed in Matthew 13. But their seed is polluted. Each seed brings forth after its own kind. So everybody is speaking thoughts that are being imparted to others. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. If it's not holiness, if it's not right standing with the Word of God, you're sowing something that is antichrist, because you're either Christ or antichrist. And the wicked are in the church. It is full of the wicked. What can we do? You know, the Lord has made a plan to sanctify His people, to take away those who are holding them back or holding them in bondage or speaking lies to them which take away any kind of motivation to holiness. See, why do people want to be holy? They fear the Lord. And what causes them to fear the Lord? The right standing with the Word of God, the knowledge that you must obey the Word of God. That gives the fear of the Lord, which in turn brings us to holiness. If you tell people once saved, always saved, or whichever version of that you like, if you tell people that, they can do anything they want to. They don't have to fear the Word of God. They don't even have to read it. And these people will pay with their lives for teaching these lies. And others just like them that justify wickedness. Pray. Pray for the people around you. Judgment is coming and many people are not going to listen. Just like Elijah sorrowfully said in our revelation. They don't want to hear it. He was discouraged and depressed. They don't want to hear it. They haven't wanted to hear it from the beginning. They haven't wanted to hear it. So, Father, we come to you and we ask for more wisdom concerning this judgment that's coming upon the earth. That when exactly you are speaking of, when will this warning go forth? Will the warning we give today go forth and stir up more people to give the warning to again pass it out to more people? I don't know. But Lord, we ask you that the people be warned, that they can have time to draw close to you and not go into the very fearful places that most of the people went in Eve's dream. They had no hope. They'd never heard the true gospel, so they had no hope that they could be with God in heaven when this judgment fell, or they could escape it, because they hadn't heard that part of the gospel either. They hadn't heard. They did not know. Lord, help us to get the gospel out in a mighty, powerful way. We know you've promised to do this for us. You've promised to get the word out to the English-speaking world out there through us, and that we would catch a fish as big as the heavens. And Lord, I'm still claiming that promise, and I know it's coming quickly now. I believe that many people are going to be granted repentance, but they better do it before the judgment comes. All of the people who are going to escape this are either going to be holy, or they're going to believe the Lamb of God was slain and crucified for them, became their curse, so that they don't have to be destroyed. Lord, we ask, Lord, that your holiness would go forth, a resurrection of your holy life would go forth, and grant repentance to the wicked. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you've told us many times that you are sending now judgment upon the apostates, and especially the leadership who are holding God's people back, and that they had to be removed in order for God's people to hear the voice of the reformers and to go into the wilderness behind the reformers. And Lord, we just pray for your people right now, Lord, that the demon spirits of religious spirits and of self-will and evil desires and ignorance of the scriptures, these things which are holding the people back and already have captured their leadership, Lord, that you would open their eyes, that you would speak to them, that you would give dreams and visions to your people and cause them to repent and get in the way of holiness, get in the way of sanctification, and escape from these people who are not sent by God, but the devil, to cause them to be destroyed and miss the kingdom of God. Father, we ask for great mercy to be poured forth in this regard. In the name of Jesus. Well, brethren, I pray you know that our teaching on deliverance, that you have done that. I know that that was a preparation for people to escape, to actually be in the bride and to escape. The bride is holy. The bride is sanctified, separated from wickedness. And I pray that you've taken advantage of that in yourself. You all have authority over demon powers, and you have authority over your flesh, which have drawn these demon powers to them like flies to a cow pie. So, Lord, we need, O Lord, this desire for holiness and righteousness. We need to escape the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, etc., etc. Lord, we ask you to help us and give us wisdom in this regard, working us to will and to do of your good pleasure, that we would desire your word. Lord, touch everyone that is with us today, that they would desire to get in the word every day, that they won't be distracted by their things, by friends who don't necessarily have the same interest in the word, hobbies, which Christians shouldn't have. The only hobbies we need are the ones that promote the kingdom of God. Football or anything else, nothing else should get in the way of our search for holiness and to promote the kingdom of God in the lives of the people around us. Nothing else should get in the way. Lord, give us the grace, Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, you have said. And obviously you wouldn't tell us to do that if we couldn't do it. There's so many liars out there that tell us that it can't be so because we just can't do it. No, all they can tell you is their own experience. They can't say it can't be done. They can only tell you what their own experience is, and they can't do it. And it's because knowledge is power. And we know the knowledge of the Word shows us, it exhorts us, it builds us up, it replaces the false knowledge in our mind. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And yet they read the Word and they skip over everything that's contrary to their idolatrous teachers. So we're asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, break the power of their idolatry with these institutions and these men who live corrupt lives and are not going to teach them holiness because they don't know it. And they're not going to teach them the way of sanctification because they don't know it. And they're not going to teach them that you can be perfect by faith in Jesus Christ. And that you can be totally justified by faith in His promises. Not by ignoring His promises because they don't agree with your theology, but by faith in His promises. Lord, we praise you for putting faith in your people to believe promises that they've never heard in their church. Or if they have heard them, they've been perverted. Lord, the walk of faith, believing you have received what you pray for. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for. Did you ask for holiness? Did you ask for righteousness and purity? And, Lord, you said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. So did you believe you received holiness and righteousness, right standing with the Word, a humble heart towards the Word, a love of the brethren, etc.? Do you believe you've received it? Then why are you saying you can't receive it? There is no confession of faith in the promises of God. As we've said recently, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do you fear God? You probably haven't read the Word with an open mind if you don't fear God. If you fear God, depart from iniquity. That's what we're told to do if we fear God. Depart from iniquity. If you're in a church and they've never given you the knowledge to overcome your sins, you're not in a church. That is not the gospel. And they don't teach it. Read the real good news and find out what the gospel says, the good news says, and what the Lord's already done and already given you. You can't reach out and take something that you don't believe is being offered. Once you realize it is being offered and it's the only way to holiness, it's the only way to Christ-likeness, is to believe you've received that gift that you have prayed for. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, a mirror is for you to see yourself in. And yet we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. You see, we can see it as done. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And this is the way to holiness. Father, we love you, we praise you, we ask you to put in the heart of your people a fear of the Lord, to see what these things that are coming. They're believing a lot of things that are coming that are just not so. And of course, we know that there are good and better changes coming, Lord, but the people that keep exhorting us to believe in all of the great prosperity that's coming don't know about the things we're talking about. They don't know. All they can see is that they're going to change the system. Great. Okay. But they're ignoring the fact that these things are coming, and if you told them these things were coming, these natural catastrophes, if you told them these things were coming, they would not believe you. So they're not Christian. They might be conservative, and they might be more in agreement and in alignment with your beliefs as a Christian out there. But if they don't believe the gospel, they're not saved. Not going to be saved. There are terrible things coming upon the world, and we've warned about them. We've also taught so that people would understand that the good things that God is doing is His mercy for a short time. His mercy, His grace, and that we should pray for these things. We're told to pray for the nations and for the peoples and pray for these things and come against the forces of darkness. We have authority in the world. The rest of them don't. Even their political willpower and their numbers could not save President Trump from assassination. But their faith and their authority that they don't necessarily believe God has given to them to come against the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness can do that. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We pray that this will be in the heart of the people. And in Jesus' name. And also, brethren, I want to remind you, you know, of the revelation that we shared, or I should say partially shared, because we really don't, we haven't necessarily seen all of the signs that lead up to what has been spoken there. But we know this thing is coming. It is affecting the earth. And so pray for more knowledge and wisdom, that more people would be awakened and turn to the Lord. Amen. All right. God bless you. I love you. Bye-bye.